I want to do that. Okay? And now, let me introduce myself. A lot of people, when they see me wear tie and suits on Sunday, they would call me Reverend Kong. And I hate that word because it's so hard to pronounce. And sometimes people even spell it wrong. On bulletin, they spell it this way. Are you awake? Okay, at least you laugh with me when I make a... I think I'm humorous. Anyway, it doesn't matter, but at least you try to make me feel good, can you? But anyway, they did. And so this is why every time when I start to come up to the pulpit, I always ask, what time should I finish? Can anyone tell me? Nobody tells me this morning on this service. Can anyone tell me what time I should end? 11. That means I have 20 minutes, okay? Huh? 11:15, okay? Any more? Higher? Okay, but I have to speak on the next server, so I have to quit. Okay, I'll try to finish before 11:15, all right? Okay, anyway, I like people addressing me this way. Just simply call me Pastor Kong. The church that I used to pastor, I saw some faces down in the congregation that I used to know, or I still know, they get lazy and they call me PK. And for me, it's okay. All right? But do you know what PK stands for? Huh? Preacher's kid? No, my father is not or was not a preacher. PK simply stands for, am I not? Okay, thank you. Now you laugh with me, all right? I can laugh at myself and you can laugh with me. And I work at CCM. How many of you know what CCM is? Only those older people. The rest of you don't know? Sure you do. Do you know Gretzky? All right. You know he always wear CCM? He does. He still does. Any one of you watch the hockey finals? Stanley Cup? Who did you choose? Who did you cheer for? Huh? Not the Canucks. We're all gone. I cheer for the Hawks. Some say, oh, but, you know, Jonathan Taves is a Canadian. That's why I cheer for the Hawks. But anyway, he didn't score the last goal. But CCM, all right? But actually, CCM stands for Chinese Christian Mission of Canada. That's all I want you to know. If you ever come to Crystal Mall, you can come visit me, okay? I am working there. But anyway, today, I tell you, don't fool around with me. Don't fool around with me. And when I preach, don't fall asleep. Okay? So this morning, I want to share with you a very, very important topic on the church. And I love to sing. I love to sing. And can I sing a song for you and with you? This song is older than you. This song is older than me. Can I teach you an old song? But I bet you would love this song. Okay? This song talks about church. Church, it says, there's a church. Can you see? Can you see? Is it too small? You're young. You can still see. 2020. Okay. There's a church in the valley by the wildwood. No lovelier spot in the vale. No place is so dear to my childhood as a little brown church in the valley. In the vale. Oh, come to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. I love this song. I bet you do. Let me sing it for you. Can I have sound here? Thank you.
a spot in the veil. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the veil. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wild wood. Oh, come to the church in the veil. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the veil.
And Mom wakes you up in the morning on Sunday. You probably don't want to, but
how sweet on a clear Sabbath morning to list to the clear ringing bell. His tone so sweetly a calling. Oh, come, come to church in the veil. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the firewood. Oh, come to the church in the veil. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the veil.
And then,
oh, come to the church in the wild wood, to the trees where the wild flowers bloom, where the parting hymns will be chanted. We will weep by the side of the tomb. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wild wood. Oh, come to the church in the veil. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the veil.
We all will grow old one day, and that day will also come that we will leave this church.
From the church in the valley by the wild wood, when day fades away into night, I would faint from this spot of my childhood, wing my way to the mansions of light.
Join me, oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wild wood.
Oh, come to the church in the veil. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in Vancouver.
You're still in Vancouver, aren't you? Even though you moved, you're still in Vancouver. You like this? Sing the chorus with me once more.
Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wild wood. Oh, come to the church in the veil. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the veil.
I don't know whether you like to come to church on Sunday morning, whether you like to hear the ringing bell. We don't have church bells anymore. In the good old days, when a church is built, they always have a big bell tower, and then just before the service, the church will ring the bell, and then the people in the village will just come filing in to go to church. But today, I bet some of you, if not all of you, we'll be hearing the alarm clock. Or Mom and Dad will come into your room to say, get up, go to church. And that's why you're here. But anyway, I was at your age not too long ago. I didn't quite want to go to church, but I got saved in the church, and I even became a pastor. I have been pastoring for many years, so I tell you some secrets today about signs of a healthy church, and I'll give you three pills, the good ones, not the bad ones. I'll give you three very good pills this morning so that you can have a healthy church. Can I do that? Can I do that? Okay. These three are vitamins. So we love vitamin A, we love vitamin B, and then we love vitamin C. So remember, you pop these three pills, your church will be healthy and you will be very happy. So what do you think vitamin A stands for? Let me give you a clue. Count how many letters. What do you think A, this will give our church healthy? When we see that, we will think our church is growing. What do you think that is? A stands for? It's hard, isn't it? I'll give you a clue. Look at this. Huh? Louder, please. Louder? Attendance, right? And every one of us as pastors, we all dream of the church just like this being filled. Being filled. All the pews are filled with people. Isn't it great? When you come to a church, you see all the pews are filled with people, and you say, this is a healthy church. We always strive for church attendance. Signs of a healthy church, pop pills of attendance. Get more people into the church. Isn't it great? Number two, what do you think B stands for? Huh? Can you guess? You have it. You have it. Huh? What do you think this is? That's right, building. See, you'd have a brand new, nice building, even though it is not a so-called brand new, but I walked around your church. You have done a marvelous job of renovating this church. And all the church just in North America, we as pastors, we always dream of our own building. And ever since, I have known your church since day one on Francis Street. And I know many of your previous and present pastors been talking about moving to a newer, bigger church. And bingo, congratulations, you have done it. A bigger, nicer building so that you have more attendance. Okay, number three. What do you think that is? That's a very simple four-letter word. Huh? What? Care? You are really holy. Yeah, cash. That's right. Cash. You see, I just read your bulletin. You still owe almost $1 million, right? So, at the beginning, in the Chinese service, the bulletin didn't say you owe $1 million. The Chinese service said you just moved $150,000 into the mortgage. I said, wow, this church is wealthy. $150,000, you can just move it over. But then I realized that you have a $980,000 mortgage. Oh dear, cash. So we pastors always, every Sunday morning, come up here to say, save your Starbucks and put it into the offering box or offering bag. We want cash because we feel that when we have cash, this is a healthy church. Many times when I was pastoring, from time to time, people will come to my office to say, Pastor Kong, next week I'm going to bring a friend to church. He's a non-Christian. Or I'm bringing my parents to church. Please do not preach on offering. Well, anyway, every church needs offering to sustain the ministry, isn't it? So a lot of times we thought, at least I thought, if I have A, B, C in my church, having a full attendance, having a nice building, having a lot of cash, this is a healthy church. But tell you, after all these years, I begin to wake up and say, wait a minute. These three vitamins are not correct. They are not right. I have been trying to pop them, and they didn't work. Honestly, they didn't work. So I begin to learn. I begin to go back to the scripture, and I begin to ask, is that true? Driving attendance, driving a nice building, driving a lot of offering, is that true? Does it work? I said, no. Let's go back to the scripture and see what the scripture says. Okay? Follow me as I read you the first church in Jerusalem. The first church in Jerusalem. This is what happened after the Pentecost. The apostles, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is what happened. Peter stood up in the congregation and preached. And mind you, one sermon. How many came to Jesus Christ? Do you recall? How many? A lot, I know. How many? 3,000. Can you imagine? When I preach, I don't even have 3. But he preached, 3,000 came to the church. But let me tell you this. The Bible says when the people heard what Peter preached, heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Then Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. For all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And then they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods, and they gave to anyone as he had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved. Now, from these two pages of scripture, I learned something. I started popping different pills. They are still vitamin A and vitamin B and vitamin C, but they are different. Let me draw your attention to just what I read. Signs of a healthy church are these people, as the Bible said, when they heard the word of God being preached, they were cut to the heart. In other words, they were convicted. Wow. Wow. They were cut to their heart. And then verse 41 says, they also accepted his message. I still remember one person who recently wrote me mentioning about my preaching in the past. She said, when I was young, I listened to you preach, and it went in from the left ear and went out through the right ear. And I bet many of you are like that. I was like that. She was like that. We all are like that. But if we want to have a healthy church, we need to stop. We need to put a plug here and open the ear on the other side and let the Word of God stay with us. Accept the message being preached, being taught. And then the Bible continues to say they devoted themselves, they devoted themselves to the teachings of the Word of God. They don't just come to hear and be convicted. They also want more. They also want more. Today, I tell you, a lot of churches, if I as a pastor preach too long, never end, they will begin to yawn. They will begin to walk out on me. That's true. When I started pastoring, I could preach at least about 40 to 50 minutes. Today, when I go visit churches as a preacher, I'm often given about 20 to 25 minutes. So I have to be very precise. That's why we have PowerPoint, to point at you, you know? That's why. We have to be brief. So what do we need? What does A stand for? Of a healthy, growing church. Huh? Exactly. Attention. Not like these guys. Right? A lot of times, we don't pay attention to what is being taught here. That's true. How many times you fall asleep on the preacher? In my church, some kids, when they fall asleep, they hit their head on the wall, and I could hear that too. So loud. Boom! Then he wakes up. We need people to pay attention. We don't need attendance. I'd rather have, 40, 50 of you here than 500 here falling asleep. Does it make sense? Right? I want to have 50 people here who are listening, paying attention. Let the Word of God cut into the heart rather than 500 people here yawning, waiting to get out. That's what is a healthy church. Number two, B. What do you think B stands for? It's no longer a building, but B stands for, let's go back to the scripture. When we look at what we just read, these people, they were not only paying attention to the Word of God, but they also what? They were devoted to the fellowships. They come together. They break bread. They pray together. And there's always the believers were together and have everything in common. And they gave and they meet together. They ate together. What are they doing? What are they really showing about a church? Huh? What do you think B stands for? Huh? This is a big church. I can't hear you. You can hear me. I can't hear you. Louder. Bonding? It's only four words. Bond. Okay, that's actually is good. I could replace that. But I chose the word body. The church is a body of Jesus Christ. If you go back to the scripture, in Romans, in Corinthians, it talked about body life. You may be an ear, you may be an eye, you may be a mouth, you may be a hand, and we all work together. You know the word fellowship? Do you go to fellowship? Fellowship means sharing things in common. Fellowship comes from this passage. Fellowship. We share things in common. Yeah, right. Let me tell you, today, our society always teaches us, you are on your own. We talked about privacy. We talked about me protecting myself. But when we come to a church, we give. We share. Not only materials, but also our hearts, our spirits. We encourage each other. We build each other up and not talk each other down. You don't come to church to punch one another out. I did when I was a kid. But when I begin to grow up, and I realize that it's not punching, but it's embracing. It's not teasing, but it's encouraging. This is what a church is for. You don't find that outside oftentimes. But you should find it at church. This is what a healthy church is all about. Body rather than a building. We can see a nice building. We can see nice furnitures. But if we don't see nice people loving, embracing, encouraging, and blessing each other, I wouldn't want to go to that church. Today, we have lots of churches in Vancouver. We have lots of churches across Canada. We have lots of churches in the world. But let me tell you, there are churches with a lot of people. A lot of people. The purpose of going to church is not to pay attention to the preaching. They are paying attention to something else. There's a lot of churches today, very beautifully decorated, but there's a lot of fightings inside. Lots of dissension inside. That's not what we want. You move to this new church. Yes, we want to see more attendance down the road, but before that, we want to see attention. Then you pay attention to the teachings of the Word. You begin to practice the teachings of the Word. And then you have body life. You have body life. Now let's move on, which is even more important. Number three. What do you think number three stands for? Every church wants it. Let me show you what the Word said first. They were doing all these things, paying attention to the Word of God, and they're sharing things. And the Bible said, as the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. People are being saved every day in the church. So what do you think this C stands for? Huh? Conviction? More than that. More than that. Huh? People are being saved now. More than that. It's con, but con what? Conversion. Conversion. Let me tell you this. A lot of churches today, they have grown in size, not only physically in the building, have also grown in numbers. But these numbers are not because they're new believers being added to the church. These are the people who didn't like that church, and they come to yours. They had a fight over at that church, and then so they split and they come to your church. We don't want this kind of a growth. What kind of a growth we want? We want conversion growth. We want conversion growth. Today, we have about 40, 50 people here. And if every single one of you is able to lead a friend of yours to Jesus Christ because you live a life that is Christ-like, then you bring that person to church. Within a year, this congregation will double. Just like that. Just like that, isn't it? We need conversion. But how can we get conversion? How can we get conversion? Now, this is a secret here. This is a secret here. You look at what the Bible said. Conversion because what? Before we find that the number of the people were daily added to the church, it was because the Christians were praising God and enjoying the favor of the people. You know what it is actually talking about? It is actually talking about these Christians in the early church. Inside the church, they were praising God. But outside the church, they were actually enjoying the favor of the community. In other words, those who are not Christians outside of the church, they like the Christians. They like them. You remember that Kellogg's commercial? He likes it. He likes it. Let me tell you, I find that the community today actually don't like churches. They don't like Christians. Isn't it true? Isn't it true? Many of us, when we go to school, when we go to work, we dare not tell others that we're Christians because they laugh at us. They laugh at us. They tease us. And when we want to build a church, the community went out and protest. We don't want a church here. There's a lot of things that is very anti-church today. Certainly we want to talk about why are they like that. One of the reasons is that sometimes we are not very likable. We are not very likable. We are not likable to our schoolmates. We are not likable as to our colleagues. We are not likable in a community. This is why churches don't grow today. But during those days, Christians were likable. People liked them. People find them, they were gaining favor in a community. We need to do a lot of soul searchings about churches. I know my time is coming up, so I cannot tell you too much, but let me tell you the very core of what I'm talking about. What are the elements contributing to the salvation of many in the early church? What are the elements? They enjoy the favor of all the people, and that's why they were able to see conversion growth. I told you earlier, I serve at CCM. There's a mission statement that I wrote 10 years ago. I said, I want to bring the church to the people. For many years as a pastor, I asked the congregation to bring people to church. But every Sunday, nobody comes to church except the Christians. Hardly non-Christians will go to church with us. So I decided we need to change. We need to go to the people, bring the church to the people, and we witness to them, and then we can bring people back to the church. Turn it the other way. How does it work? Just like this. Church and the people and the community are so segregated. Today, people next door are sleeping. People outside of your door are going to yamcha across the street. You go and ask them to go to church? No way. People always say, you come to church, you come to church with me. They say, oh, no, 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 no. They always stop at the door. No, they don't want to go to church. People don't have any interest in going to church. But if you ask them, later, and they will come, they'll go with you. Not to church, to yamcha. I'll wait for you there. What should we do? No, we need to first go to the people. We first go to the people. We find what we have in common with the people. And then we try to really love them and serve them as Jesus did when he was on earth. Jesus came to the people and then served them. This is why we say Christians should go back into the community to serve the community, to make a blessing to the community. Then we can be a witness to people. Then we can gain favor of the people in the community. Then there will be conversion in our church. I'm very happy that your church is one of the churches, quite few, not too many, is willing to do that. And I see a community center right here in this building. And you are becoming a blessing to the people around you. This is important. We need to find ways to serve the people, to help people. And then you can gain favor of the non-Christian. The community or our country needs the church. Today, the community and the country push Christians outside. You go away. You stay out. But we need to go back. Not just to plump a building inside a community, but the Christians themselves needs to go in wherever you are and become a light. Because the church actually, it's not just a building. The church is a bunch of Christians following Jesus Christ. That's what you need to do. My time is up, 11:15. So, what is pill number one? Instead of attendance, what is that? Attention. Are you paying attention? Do you remember that? Every Sunday. Not just me, but whoever comes to speak next week, you pay attention to what he has to say. Number two, body. You begin to learn to love one another. Don't punch one another's out. Love them, encourage them, build them up. That's body life. Then when you do that, you go out, you gain favor in the community. So instead of looking for cash, you're actually looking for conversion. People will say, I like Christians because they make a difference. Test yourself. Later on, I don't know whether you will go to across the street to shop, to yamcha. If somebody cuts in front of you and take your parking spot that you think is yours, how are you going to react? How are you going to react? Yeah, then you know how much love you have for the community. He took my parking spot. That's right. Can we regain the favor of the non-Christians in the community? Not by asking them to come to church, but asking the church to go to them, to witness to them. Not by talking, but by walking. Remember that? So, I want to see next time when I come, there will be 60 people, 70 people, 80 people, because they like you. They said, I like her, I like him. That's why I go to church with her and with him. Bless you all. My time is up. Can I pray for you? Our gracious Father, as I look across the room, there's so many young people here, filled with potentials, not to make money, not to have a very good job, even though they will. But they are potentials that when you touch their lives, they can touch others' lives and become an army for the Lord Jesus Christ to do greater things for the glory of God. Use this church, not just the building, but the people. Empower them, and so that they can reach out to those around them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.